Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. The three sacrifices you're not willing to make that very well could be holding back your progress. Immediately comes to mind, you're probably, oh, this has to be some type of dietary cheat meal thing that they're talking about, or I'm not doing my cardio or training hard enough, but it's not. It's a few areas that I was held back on when I was earlier on. I think we all have these three areas to keep progressing up through our athlete development process, but ones that we're going to just lay out for you all so you can make steady, fast progress when many people are behind in these three areas. So Luke, maybe we should just go ahead and we will jump straight into our first one.
Our first one's just going to be posing. Like, I can't stress how undervalued this is in the outcomes portion of your show. Like, your ability to win and being able to present your physique to its fullest capacity. And mind you, when we talk about posing, we don't talk about dancing around the posing room doing a routine, right? We're talking about compulsories, transitions, nailing that, working on perfecting that process of what's going to be judged on the stage next to these other athletes. And I think we should cover what does that look like from the beginning to end of prep, because I've had clients lose shows over missing poses, without a doubt. And I think that that's such a big thing to understand, that you can have all the tools, but if you don't present it, like, people talk about what is the sport of bodybuilding. People talk about like the training and the dieting and all this. It's like posing is such a big aspect of the performance portion of bodybuilding that I just don't understand why it's not prioritized so heavily.
I think it starts off just, even though you're like not in a prep, because a lot of times it's like, oh, I don't worry about my posing till I'm in prep. But every exercise you do, you're re-ingraining these patterns of movement that are going to get locked in place. Same with even your check-in photos. So I think having an initial point, even if you're not even into prep yet, of trying to make sure that you're at least positioning yourself right in these check-in photos, for one, from a reproducibility standpoint for comparing over time for your coach, but then also so you're not just learning improper posing positions that are going to be the ones you have to break once you do get into prep. So the initial of like, just, hey, just get in touch with a posing coach, and it wouldn't take long just to make those few corrections to start that process. So you already have some ability to practice the correct things until you're, you know, not into prep just yet.
And that's a lot of off-season work, like just perfecting your ability to hit mandatories and take check-in photos consistently and report that back. Like, you could do that across two sessions with the posing coach and make sure that that's done well. And that way you have that baseline set going into prep. And then we can start to talk about, as you get into prep, one of the biggest reasons I do 2 times a week check-ins with all my athletes that start prep immediately is to get them to practice posing more. Like, it's partly the communication and things are going to happen faster in prep, and I just want to set that standard. But a lot of it is I just need a set time for them to practice their posing twice a week, because we need this frequency to start building as we get to phase into prep.
Yeah, the practice piece needs to happen and much earlier on than I did, like, in my past. And I'll be honest, like, a lot of times earlier on, it was a money limitation thing to hiring a posing coach. But I feel like we're in a very different age than we were 10 years ago, where the availability online of just so many free resources to utilize, for one. But also, if you can't hire a coach, we even have like our posing course you could go through. Hell, we even have a free posing ebook that you could utilize too. So there's not a really an excuse to money being the limitation to at least getting some degree of practicing taking place. And I think you brought up a point earlier of like dancing around the posing room as this also being an issue of some people that really love to pose, and I'm all about it. You know, I love the passion towards your posing routine. However, the posing routine in the vast majority of every level is not even judged. So you're wasting a lot of valuable time that some people that are doing this are not even hitting their mandatories correct, or haven't even planned in transitionary poses to also that are going to expose weaknesses in their actual comparisons. And those are things that you need to absolutely nail before even thinking about doing your routine. And just your entire presence on stage, from the moment you put one foot on stage to the moment you leave stage, everything should be executed at a professional level. And this is even if you're an amateur. You will stand out vastly different from that guy that only learned his mandatories and doesn't know about the transitions, doesn't know about walking on stage. You see guys that like shrug their shoulders, they're let their waist out. How do you stand on the sidelines before you're getting compared? Like every moment on stage matters. And if you nail that as an amateur, you could beat out guys, even if they're better than you with like maybe condition or certain muscularity aspects, because they're going to miss the mark in all these other areas.
I hate the fidgeting. The fidgeting is the one that gets me. Right? Like they're getting into the pose and they're like doing this number and then they're like doing the shoulders and the shrug and trying to find the right position. Right? It's like, you just make that so polished and repeatable. It stands out on stage as something that you'll get, you know, potentially marked up next to someone that's a close call. So when we start to get into posing, like I do the twice a week check-ins to try to make sure that that's instated off the forefront, and then ask them to practice posing typically once a week at the start. So three sessions a week. Just getting through mandatories, perfecting those a couple rounds. But as you kind of start getting into the midpoint of prep, like I'd say about 15 weeks out, I'm asking athletes 15 to 12, like you need to be doing 3 rounds to 4 rounds per go, in my opinion, at minimum 3, to be conditioned enough and start using that as a conditioning aspect of posing that far out.
Yeah, eventually leading up, like as you progress the show, like for my last show, I was doing 3 rounds of posing per day for 10 minutes. So, and basically within that 10 minutes, it was nonstop posing, running through quarter turns to mandatories, holding each pose, just like I was on stage. And that's a thing about it is like you want to practice under the conditions that you're going to be on when you're on stage. So you're going to have to pose continuously. However, what I would say, if you're not able to do that for that 10-minute segment and you're dropping into fatigue, you don't want to just instill these improper posing around fatigue, which you take your break and then restart from there and then build up that time back into like quality posing. So there's a degree you should get pushed during your posing so you can keep progressing that up to where you can hold like that 10-minute round, but also not just training under really, really poor conditions. I think my thing is when people are posing between their training sessions, it's a terrible time to learn posing. Or post-workout, a lot of times earlier on, for the inexperienced person, you're so fatigued that, yeah, you might look really cool, but also it's that degree of fatigue is going to limit your ability to learn new poses and ingrain those new things, that fine motor skill that needs to happen. So it's better to do it as fresh as you're able to, not before training session, but in its own separate session away from training.
Yeah. Would you typically say you try to do it for yourself or for clients, like first thing in the morning prior to cardio probably is like the best place to put that?
Yeah. I mean, for myself, my schedule allows it, right? So I get up for like an hour and a half and I'll hydrate and then I'll go do posing. And then I eat afterwards. So I'm not just completely fasted. Like I have some hydration in me. So I have a little bit more feel to the poses.
Right.
And then also I'll have my next session. I'll train in the morning just for myself, but my last session will be before my second to last meal. So I'm not trying to do this towards my last meal where I'm, you know, trying to wind down for the night either. About five, 6 hours before bedtime. And then that third session, depends on what I'm training, I'll have one that's post-workout. But that's more so, it's one of my shorter sessions, and it is dependent based around what fatigue was like for the day. And again, this is what I'm talking about, getting closer to show, when like food's up, you're already ready, and it's not like you're worrying about, you know, fatigue as much. So, but it, ideally, having those sessions on the opposite ends of training and a little farther from it.
And if you're a little bit more time constrained, like I tend to lean towards shorter, more frequent. Like if you think about skill adaptation and program design, like early beginners, you're trying to program to squat as frequent as possible so they just learn the skill of squatting, right? Same thing goes with posing. It's the same concept of working someone through cognitive associative skills, phases of learning. And so you're trying to get frequency of high quality sessions. So I'd rather shorter, higher frequent, more quality, where they can wake up, do one round, and then go do their cardio, where they just, they have that high quality round, they nail it, they make sure it's high quality, and then they go do the rest of their day. For people that do have the time crunch, like it's, and this kind of starts to bring us into the next one, is like the timing and the scheduling of your day to make sure these things happen. Like they kind of start to go hand in hand when you start prioritizing posing as a part of your schedule.
Yeah. And just that last, my last little pet peeve I want to hit on posing was hiring the posing coach that schedules you for an hour in person is a complete waste. And not, maybe that's a bit of an overstatement, but I don't want to take away from posing coaches because I know there's breaks in there, but the amount of teaching that would be ingrained in that time period and fatigue accumulated just far exceeds what's productive, in my opinion. I think you're better off starting almost online with a coach that can do short, frequent sessions, get those ingrained, and that would build up your learning process a lot better than just doing one like huge session. Usually people get just completely gassed and it takes away from their like week of productive prep work. But anyway, we'll move on to our second point here is sacrifice in your daily routine. Uh-huh. And I realize some people are not going to be like your schedule is your schedule, right? But you do have a ability to make that as consistent as possible and execute. And I think earlier on, this is one that falls off pretty easily or is never in place to begin with, not realizing the importance of how this could take you to a higher level.
And it's the little things too, right? Like consistency in meal timing that frames your entire day. Like if you can execute on that, the times that you have in between will start, that'll start to set the framework of when you execute things. It'll set the framework of when you train, consistency in training time. It'll set the framework of consistency in sleep time, the framework and consistency of wait time. So like, if there's one to really focus on, in my opinion, it's like nail the meal timings, because off the back of that, it's so easy to now build the consistency of all these things that you want to keep consistent throughout the day.
And if everyone's thinking like, why does that even matter on say prep or whatever, or off season, think of the situation where it backfires, right? You are going too long without eating. You didn't pack your meal with you. What happens? Starving, hungry. You eat your next meal. It just doesn't even satiate you, right? Just, it feels like you didn't eat anything. Now, what's happened now? Well, all that hunger signaling, it's causing more like psychological stress. It's making prep harder. And now all your meal timing's off for the day to where you might be going to sleep that day, just hungrier for the entire night. The off season. Same thing that happens if you go too long without your meal and now you have to have some meals come back to back. What happens? Some people, it kills their appetite and they're not able to finish their food for the day. So what now? Well, now you're eating at the surplus level you need for your week. That just keeps building and building. And over time, that lack of consistency and routine adds up to lack of result. And so this is when that stuff really can matter.
I do find too, as like a secondary point on the first one that you brought up, is like people who do struggle with binging, losing the schedule, it's such a quick slippery slope to messing up. Like, man, you extend that meal time out just a little too far and you are going to bed so hungry that it's keeping you from sleeping. Like, God, that's just such a quick slope. And obviously like people are just going to say you should be disciplined, which I agree, but there's also people who do struggle with this, right? And if you're looking for ways to foolproof your prep, like obviously managing your relationship with food is the first one, but a secondary one is using that schedule to help you foolproof it.
Thanks everyone for tuning in to today's podcast. Are you struggling to hit your peak on show day? Feeling lost in the off season? Upgrade your coaching game with J3 University. Our program covers everything from off season to contest prep to peak week, all based from real client results. Along with our comprehensive physique curriculum, you'll also get access to our four rooms with our J3U team to answer any questions you have and live Q&A sessions to further your coaching and athlete experience. We are the source of education for top IFBB pros and coaches. Join us to elevate the coaching standard at J3 University. Let's get back to today's podcast. Yeah, I realize that some people are like, yeah, tough it up, man. Just the way it's going to be. It's like, yeah, for sure. That's a piece of it. But if we can alleviate some of that burden by just keeping a routine, that's absolutely what we should do. And for those people that do struggle, well, here's your tip to help alleviate that to a degree. I think for those that travel a lot or do have variable routines, setting that schedule the day prior can be extremely helpful. Or if you know in advance, like you have this schedule that rotates with the consistency to it, setting those meal times up. Like what I do is in my Google Calendar, I have like built in my meal times that notify me, hey, time to eat. So when you are sitting, some people like sitting at the computer, working, time flies by, you miss your meal or gets delayed. This way you're like notified, oh, got to stop what I'm doing and go eat. Same thing if you have that variable scheduled, you know, thinking about what's going to happen for this next day, having those meal times set. Like coming up, I'm driving to Dallas and my schedule is going to be varied with the times I fly, the times I train. And I can just program and shift my meals around to where I already have set when am I going to be having these meals. So for one, the psychological stress reduction is there. I'm in prep, so that's already helpful and puts, you know, peace at mind because of that. But also I won't run into issues where meal timing goes too long and hunger's like getting really high and that maybe is impacting, you know, training performance or anything that might be like that. So just planning these things out can go really far in just being productive in off season or prep.
Yeah. And then ultimately, like making that prep as smooth of a process as possible, it allows us to bring the best physique to stage as possible because then things go according to the timeline. And life happens. Like things are going to throw you off your schedule every once in a while. But if you just control the controllables, like that's where the biggest progress tends to lean. And this does start to kind of bring us into the last one a bit of like, there's a big responsibility in making the right decisions when controlling the controllables, which kind of brings us into our third lifestyle type discussion, right?
Yeah. Lifestyle is probably the hardest one people need to make sacrifices in, and realizing the higher the goal to achieve that, usually the greater the sacrifice, because if you didn't have to sacrifice anything, well, we would all be achieving these high level goals. And this is not the case in real life, right? We have to really get uncomfortable, sacrifice to achieve at a high level. So in bodybuilding, that means that lots of things might have to be given up that aren't conducive to that goal, or maybe they need to be altered to a way that is aligning with your goal. The first thing that kind of comes to mind is the extrovert social butterfly. Usually is not as conducive in a prep situation just because, hey, I'm used to going out, hanging out with my friends all the time. They have this robust social life. And that is also building into our last point, which creates a lack of routine of meal timing, lack of sleep time and wake up time, and that causing more fatigue in these situations. And that type of social life might have to get dialed back pretty far. Even those people that are around that type of crowd, maybe they aren't aligning with your goals as well and pulling you away from that. Things to consider.
Yeah, I think potentially like a secondary one as well is sometimes occupations forcing that. Like I coach a couple people who are bartenders and things like that, where it's kind of like how they make their money. And it kind of starts to lead into making sure that the rotary schedule sets you up for success in those situations. Because a lot of times if you're bartending, your day shifted back a lot. And so while it's not maybe overly the most conducive career choice for competing, you can make it less impactful by shifting sleep and wake times, shifting meal times, and being planned ahead for that. And like, I'm prepping someone now who bartends, and like, she's so on it with like shifting her days that it's just been almost a flawless prep, knock on wood, right? Like, we're like 3 weeks out now, so I hope I didn't just shoot myself in the foot. But like, it's just been perfect, like literally perfect rate of loss the entirety of prep. But she's also very strict about not staying out late after her bartending shift and coming home and sleeping and executing her meals and sleeping later on the days that she knows she's getting back late. It's like she has that routine built so that she does a very good job of it.
I think you should do like a review and inventory of your own lifestyle and see if there are opportunities for you to improve it. Cause like at one point, now this is when I was powerlifting, but I also was doing like landscaping and tree trimming outside, and the Texas heat is not very conducive to anything that's weight training related or sports related or in any manner. So I was young, I could tolerate it, but I wasn't at my best. So I had to look to find areas where, what other job can I get that would align better with what I want to do? And honestly, my whole career path has been aligned with, how do I keep bodybuilding efficiently and pay for this? Right. So it's always been looking at, oh yeah, I'm going to be a dietitian. Like, I have this hospital routine that's not overly demanding that I can bodybuild at. I realize that's not going to be the case for everyone, but if you're in a job where it's a job and it's not a career, I would just pose yourself, like, what do you want to do for your career? And maybe that's the point of you pull back in your bodybuilding. You make that happen to where you then position yourself in a way to where you're not trying to just struggle to get by doing these, like, these jobs and struggling in your bodybuilding. Like, just get really good at one and then you can move on to your bodybuilding. Like, take that year, get your lifestyle aspects in order, and then get back into your bodybuilding. That would be so productive for so many people, because younger on, because when I was young, it was trying to manage it all and just make it work. Like, I'll work two jobs, like I'm going to bodybuild, and then I'm just poor and super busy with no time. And so there's a probably realization that, hey, you can step back for a year if you're young, and this isn't going to take away from you bodybuilding, which guys get really good when they're even mid to late 30s, right? So just take that time when you're young to invest in yourself to set up that lifestyle routine to be in a good position later on.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think also too, for the people that are already in the career positions, like, I've certainly prepped people where the career requires a lot of the travel, right? And like international travel. Like, I have a guy that's going like to New York, from New York to Thailand, and then from there somewhere else over there. And it's like, he's already planned and mapped out like the food that's going to be where it's at for that entire trip. Like, where's he getting it from? Things like that. It's like, that's just the level you have to execute at if that's what your career path requires you to do. Cause he's like head honcho of a massive business. So it's required. Right. So, but it's again, if bodybuilding is the biggest priority in your life, choose career paths that allow you to do this at your highest availability. If not, you just understand that you're going to have be more disciplined in planning and preparation in order to be able to manage that.
The other piece of this, and I mentioned a little bit about the social aspect, but there's a lot to manage on the relationship side in this, which some relationships can create a lot of stress and take away from bodybuilding. Others can be conducive to it. So you have to review the people in your life and see which ones are aligning well with this journey that you want. Some are just going to be in place. Like, hey, I have kids. Like, yeah, we're not going to, you know, get rid of your kids. But at least pieces of that are creating that lifestyle that's maybe more routine for your children, if that's not already in place. Or do you have the financial means to have someone help you in positions that require your time, right? So if you have a nanny or something like this, where you could free up that time that is now getting allocated more into like contest prep, yep. Thinking things along those lines. In my past, there was people in my life that were not productive towards my bodybuilding. They were taking me away from it. They were negative towards it. And these were people that I wasn't tied to and had to stay tied with, right? So those people are no longer in my life. Those are sacrifices that I had to make. So it's And again, it's just bodybuilding, right? So we're not, I'm not telling you here that to go leave your wife or something like, you know, crazy like this, like, but just keep, make sure that inner circle is allowing you to see out the best potential for yourself. That I don't, it doesn't mean like sometimes bodybuilding, it does not mean it's your best potential for yourself. Sometimes the bodybuilder makes you a worse person and you need to evaluate that. I mean, I know we're getting deep and philosophical here, but it's those things to start considering and thinking on. That that inner circle group should be bettering you and you bettering the people around you as well. So if that's not happening, time for an evaluation.
100%. I think it's it creates more distractions than it does anything else if it's not that way. And I mean, this last year has been a lot of that for me. Like this last year has been narrowing that circle to the people that have the same vision and goal. And it's like, I'm now in probably the most productive place I've ever been. Right. And probably impacting the most people I've ever impacted. So that goes kind of across the board with whatever you want to pursue and just being real with that, whatever that is.
It's been tough this year for me in a degree because the level of competition that I'm competing at now is it's the highest I've been at with what is required out of my physique, right? Like I'm trying to push to an absolute new level, which requires an even greater sacrifice that I need to make from a career standpoint when that could also like substantially take off if I wanted to. So there's opportunities that get presented for travel, for podcasts, for seminars, and so much that I have to turn down. Like, I don't know when this is coming out, but like I'm traveling for 10 weeks out for our coaches weekend. That's the last travel that I have booked for the rest of prep. And there's been numerous podcasts that I've turned down as well, just here at home, because every hour counts now for the time that I have to work on the things that are absolutely necessary. And then the prep will not be sacrificed. That even means like people coming to visit me, whether it's friends, family, like nothing is getting sacrificed at this level for what I need to do to execute for my prep, because I only have a couple of years left in this. So it's that important to me. So the sacrifice has been pretty vast as far as that goes. And it's just knowing and when to say yes and when to say no to things. When you have your own business, it's really hard to say no and say yes all the time. And I've done that and just overwhelmed myself to where now your prep's getting, you know, less productive and you're just overwhelmed with work and that's not productive either. So.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's about creating the best version of yourself. And if bodybuilding is a part of that best version of yourself, creating the best athlete, I think that's where I despise the argument of whether bodybuilding is an athletic endeavor or not, because it's like, if you don't treat it as an athletic endeavor from a performance standpoint, you're just never going to reach your fullest potential. So I do think that that's kind of how you have to look at it and treat it that way.
Yeah. I mean, however you, we could talk about the semantics of verbiage of what's an athlete and what's a sport and what's not. But either way, like if you reflect on an athlete, like a basketball player, professional or professional bodybuilder, it's going to be very reflective in many areas of lifestyle sacrifices, routine that's need being in place, psychological aspects, physical aspects and traits that need to mirror each other in those degrees. So that's more so what Luke is talking about, whether you think of flexing muscle on stage as athletic or not, whatever. Get on stage and do it right, and it, you'll see that there's the athleticism required within it. But anyway,
I think that's it. I think that's pretty much everything. Yeah, no,
that is the three aspects that'll need to be sacrificed, which is not coming down to more cardio or less food and you know, just dealing with your hunger. It is kind of some harder ones that you have to focus on. Some people hate the posing piece and you just have to do more of the stuff that maybe you dislike. Some people love it. That's okay. But I think setting up your daily routine, it just takes some time, and also having those lifestyle sacrifices also can be a challenging one to work around. So it's the things that you can kind of exist in and they just keep happening the way that they are, but you just need to take a stop, evaluate and address them as if this is your goal and this is what you want, then should evaluate how do you get better in every aspect to achieve that.
Love it.
We'll wrap it up there, everybody. Any comments, questions, leave them down below in our YouTube section. If you're listening to our audio streams, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.